You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We welcome and greet all you listeners wherever you are. We're honored to be with you. Today we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and we've called this program for a lot of years now, Raising the Standard, and that's what we're doing on this program that we have for years, to raise the standard in the body of Christ. We don't want to lower the standard, we want it to come up, and we see what's going on in our country, and even in the church in so many areas, we're lowering the standard instead of raising the standard, and we see all these polluted Bibles and stuff that people are reading now, they don't get the full truth. And so we want to raise the standard.
That's right.
And so we welcome you. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. And Donna, as I say sometimes, not every week, but sometimes, probably somebody's listening today for the very first time. Never heard this program before, and we've been on for over 17 years. So we welcome you. We hope you're blessed with what you hear, not because of Pastor Donna and Pastor Gene, but because give you the Word of God. So Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart. We have for 21 years, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation chapter 19. And so this is an outreach ministry of Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour and you'll enjoy it. Maybe you want to listen next week. And we always ask people, you know, if you've enjoyed the program, well, ask the Lord if He would be willing with you to give something to the ministry so we can maintain what we're doing here. Because the program is not free. We have to pay for this. And so we ask you to ask the Lord, whatever He tell you to give, well, then you be obedient to that. You'll be blessed, and the ministry here will be as well. Amen?
Amen.
So we have
Thanks
to
the Lord.
Do what God wants us to do.
That's
but
right.
There's people been listening, we know, for years and years on here, and they've never sent anything in. So you ask the Lord. Maybe this is the week that God will say, hey, we want you to help them meet their need to keep this program on the air. So anyway, we love you. We welcome you. And this is what we're on this program for, to exhort, encourage, and comfort people, and to raise the standard in the body of Christ with knowing the Hebrewism, the Jewish roots, and the things that we need in this day and this hour that we've been robbed of. And so we're missing out a lot of things. And so this is what we've been doing over these years, and we've enjoyed it. And we're always honored to be here with you every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. We do offer, if you'd like to get a copy of what we're discussing today, a CD or a tape, whatever you want. All we ask for is a love offering, and you can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and you mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995. We also have a book that I've written about the Jewish prophetic calendar and the pictures of the Messiah, and it's got all the appointed times and the historical events with it, and also the prophetic implications for today. And it covers all the appointed times in Leviticus 23, plus some other things like Hanukkah and Purim and all these things. And so we offer that also for a love offering of $25 and maybe $2 or $3 for shipping and handling. And we'd be glad to get it out to you. So you can just make out a check, as we said, to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Avail yourselves of those things, and you can learn some things maybe that you never comprehended from the Word of God.
Amen.
So we're honored to be here with you. Pastor Don's got a few things to mention up front here, and then we're going to teach a little bit with you here today. Amen, Pastor Don.
Amen. And we've also been offering free, if the chart in your book in your commentary, pictures of the Messiah. So because, you know, we need to know about the calendar.
Amen.
And I'm hearing a lot of people, even on TV, Christian TV and radio, that are talking about the calendar, the prophetic calendar, which we have been talking about for how many years on this radio program?
A long time, yeah.
A long, long time. And, you know, some people are asking a lot of money for that.
True.
But, you know, this book that Pastor Gene has done has been, I mean, the Lord's given him a lot of revelation, and it's all about all the feasts of the Lord, plus the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation and the last days and all these charts that we have in this book. But we offered the one about the calendar, which you can see. It's very easy to understand. And
right.
If you wanted that, we offered that one page out of the book. So you could put it in your Bible or you could have it with you, and you could know exactly when the feasts are. You know exactly
Absolutely.
What's happening on certain Hebrew days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great, great little piece of paper to carry along with you. And you know, everyone in our church, I think, has one in their Bible or their study, so they can be up on what's going on with the feasts of the Lord. Because all of the things, the prophetic things, the time that Jesus is coming back, the return, all of these things have to do with, and what we're seeing going on over in
Middle East.
Israel and Middle
mm-hmm.
East. And all these things that have are prophetic things that happen, a lot of them during the feast times.
Absolutely.
So we need to know the calendar. So, you know, you're welcome to have that. We'd be glad to copy that one page from our book and give it to you. And all you need to do is send a self-addressed stamped envelope, and we'll be glad to mail that to you. And you'll have that to be able to refer back to when you'll, you know, when you're talking about it, you're wanting to know more about your Hebrew roots, your roots, and the feasts of the Lord, and the prophetic times of God, on God's timetable. We got to stay on God's timetable.
And it's a circle, isn't it, Pastor Doc?
It is a circle, amen. It has a Gregorian year in there. It has the Hebrew year in there. You know, the Hebrews have two calendars.
That's right.
And it also has the prophetic, which is the prophecy.
That's right.
And all three calendars on one page. And it's the way that I've made it. It's easy to understand. And it works in a circle, you know, because God, we always talk about God as cycling, you know.
Every year is the same.
It's not just a long line. No.
That's right.
He always returns, and you know, and just like our life is a cycle. Every year we have a birthday. We know when it is, right?
That's right.
So, you know, so we need to realize that. So that's offering. You can mail it to that address that he gave you, Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995, and that's just Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. So I wanted to mention also we have church services. We have services here, fellowship, service. I don't really like to call them church, but because we come together to fellowship, right? We are the church.
Amen.
Each one
Hallelujah.
Of you listening, you are the church.
Amen.
Amen. You have the Holy Spirit. You're born again. You have Jesus in your heart, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost. So you are the church, but we come together to fellowship. We have a fellowship, and we have fellowship on Sunday at 10 a.m., and we also have fellowship on Friday. We have Shabbat, and that's at 7 p.m., and then on Saturdays, we come together and we have a Bible study and teaching, or we watch right now we're watching the videos about Israel.
About Israel's
and
history,
the prophecies
yes.
that have been fulfilled.
Amen.
And it's very good. It's a whole series. What's it called again? It's
Against All Odds.
Against All Odds. All of these miracles that have happened,
That's
you know.
Right.
I mean, one thing, they had a miracle. I think they only had like three of those big tanks. And, you know, they won the war.
They won the war.
Yeah, they won the war.
That's right.
And so, you know, we need to, because God was with them, right?
Amen. He's always with them.
He's always with them.
Regardless of what they've been doing. Yeah.
He's with them now. That's why the Bible says that we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray for Israel. And we pray for God's people. Amen. But anyways, we have that. And we also have a worship class, dance, and also exercise class
mm-hmm.
on Saturday, so you can give us a call and we can let you know more about what goes on at the ministry. And also you can listen to this broadcast and other broadcasts if you go to on the internet, wcno.com, www.wcno.com, and they have podcasts so you can listen to programs that we've done in the past. And so we're just blessed to be here on this radio program and also on the internet for those who are listening other places than this area.
Right.
You know, we only cover
another
a
country.
Certain area here from the radio. So if you're driving up and down the highway, 95 or the Turnpike, and you like what you're hearing, you can go back and listen to it again and just go to that WCNO website And you can listen to us 24/7. They have music and teaching all around the clock, 24/7. So that's a real blessing to be part of that WCNO. So we need to pray for them as well, because you know they need funds as well.
Sure they do.
That's whose program we're on, the WCNO, and so everyone needs. I know everyone needs finances.
Need to keep the word going out.
But the word must keep going out.
That's right.
And we're just blessed to be here and to be able to serve anyone who is listening or wants to know more about the prophetic aspects of the Bible. We want to say hello to all you out there in the radio land or in the computer. And we want to say hello to our sister church over on Andros Island.
Hallelujah.
To Roscoe and Audrey.
Temple of God.
And the people, the Temple of God on Andros Island. They're building,
for them,
building the kingdom of God. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So we just thank you and we bless them. We bless them with our whole heart. And we just thank the Lord for the work that they are doing and how they are standing on the truth of God's word. Praise
Amen.
God. Amen.
Yep.
So I'm going to give a phone number.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it again at the end of the program. It's area code 772-285. Excuse me. 7007. You say it, Gene.
Okay. 285-7007. We're like 007 agents. Amen. But you know, I was thinking, Pastor, while you were talking there about the calendar, we found this out about a year and a half or so ago. I just thought one day, I said, I wonder what day, I know what day I was born again on our calendar, September 26th of 1982. I said, so I thought, remember, I said, I wonder what day that is, what day that was on the Jewish calendar, you know, God's calendar.
When you were born again.
When I was born again. We looked it up. It was on the Day of Atonement. What a day to get saved, huh?
And that's a real warning to you.
That's
too.
Right.
That was probably your last chance.
Yep, might have been.
Because the Day of Atonement is the one of the highest is the highest holy day,
especially with Israel at the very
with
end.
With Israel,
that's
and
right.
So you know, and it applies to us as well. You might say, well, I'm not Jewish, or maybe even at that time you didn't even think about the Jewish roots.
That's right.
Because you didn't.
Well, I didn't know anything about it for years until 1988.
Some people don't even.
6 years after I got saved, I found out a little bit about it.
Some people don't even look at Jesus as being a Jew.
That's right.
But, you know, he was born a Jew, he died a Jew, he rose a Jew, and he's coming back as a Jew.
That's right.
You know, that's, and he's coming back to Jerusalem, not
Amen.
Anywhere else.
That's
not
right.
Anywhere else. And so, you know, when you got born again, of course, you didn't think about those things because you weren't into the deeper things. You just knew that he was your Savior. And so, well, praise God, and that's all we really need to know.
That happened with you on the same day also.
Right, and our two children.
And our two children
day
on
of
the
Atonement.
Day of Atonement.
So, and
it's incredible.
That's right. That is incredible. But when you find out these things, you keep finding out more and more things. And that is a high holy day. And to be born again on a high holy day, wow.
Well,
see, there's a lot of things we don't know. That's all we need to. And, you know, I have on my phone and on my computer is, in other words, if I look up today's date, I can click it and I can tell you, it'll tell me exactly what the Hebrew date is.
Mm-hmm.
Without using a calendar or having a calendar, you know, I have one hanging here. It has a Jewish calendar, but it'll tell you. But I could go back 20 years ago, like you did, or I could go forward 100 years.
That's right.
I go back 100 years and it'll tell you exactly what day it was and what the date was at that
That's
time.
Right.
And so when you know the date, because God says so many times, it says, you know, on the first month and the 14th day.
Whatever
well,
it may be.
We know that if the first month, we know it would be Nisan, prophetically,
prophetic.
The prophetic calendar. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's not on their Gregorian calendar, but on their prophetic calendar, it would be Nisan 14. That's the day that Jesus died.
Died. On the cross, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And
first
he rose
month,
on Nisan
first
17.
Month, the 14th day he died, didn't he? Yes.
That's right.
Yep.
So that would tell you a lot. Oh, wow. Click. You know, you
that's
wake
right.
up, your mind wakes up, and the Lord gives you, directs you. Because a lot of things happen on Nisan 14.
That's right.
A lot of things happen on that time.
And one thing I'm thinking about while we're talking about this, let's just, the Holy Ghost led me to this.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, it says this. Paul spoke here. He says, for now we see through a glass, what, darkly.
Darkly.
Some Bibles say dimly, but it's darkly.
Mm-hmm.
But then, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So I thought about that day when we got saved,
mm-hmm.
okay. Well, when Paul wrote face to face, the Jewish people in that community in Corinth that were there knew exactly what he was talking about. He's talking about the Day of Atonement. And so that we got saved on that day, and basically at that time, I became what face to face with God, and I had to make a decision
mm-hmm.
about Him. There was
mm-hmm.
evidence that was given to me a few days before that demanded a verdict, and so I was face to face, and then it says this. Once I came, it says, now I know in part. I only knew in part back in those days,
that's
and you
right.
and I did.
And we still only know so, in
that's
part.
That's right. But then what? When Yeshua comes back, that's the then, shall I know even as also I am known? We're going to know the things even as God knows us right now. Isn't that incredible? So we got saved on the Day of Atonement.
But God is light, and He wants to give us more and more light. Like you said, it says dimly. But darkly is even darker than dim.
That's right.
So, you know, at that time it was dark. You were dark. You were
complete,
in darkness.
Complete darkness.
So when you come to the Lord, you come to the light. But still, but as you come, get closer and closer to the Lord, there's more and more light because of the revelation and the understanding, and you're being illuminated more.
That's right.
And so now you have a greater amount of light that you can see, especially prophetically, you know, because when you first come, you're coming, it's in the dark. You are in the dark. It's like walking. You ever walk out of the dark into some light? Well, if you walk into real, real bright light, you can't hardly see. But as you go gradually, as it gets a little bit more and more and more, your eyes are able to focus better
and adjust.
And adjust, and you can see. Same with the Word of God. When you're in the light, when you're in the Word of God, He is light, right? And He brought forth the light. It talks about in Genesis,
that's
you know, because
right.
that looks sometimes it looks a little confusing there because it talks about light two different times.
Mm-hmm.
But He is the light. He also brought forth light, brought forth the sun and the moon and the stars.
Wow.
So there are a certain amount of light. Some have the sun is bright, the moon is not reflection, and the stars only you only see them at nighttime. So, but they are light. You know,
that's
they
right.
give they bring light. So you know, God is light, but He wants to open our eyes up to be able to see the greater prophetic things, and which is going to bring us more into more of the light, and that's going to bring us in more in the truth, because He's the truth and the way. He's the way and the truth. So we need the light. We need the light of God. We need our eyes opened.
I think about looking out at night at the stars. Some of those are 100 mm-hmm. million light years away,
mm-hmm.
and yet we can see it with our naked eye, can't we? Because light dispels all the darkness. I thought about the other night. We walked into our other bedroom, I remember, and it was dark in there, and we turned on a little light in the bathroom. It shined a little bit of light in that bathroom. But as we walked in, you go, wow, you can't see because you're in darkness. But as you move in and the light comes in, what happens? Your eyes open up, get adjusted to it, and then you find out that you're in the right place
mm-hmm.
where to put your foot so you don't stumble and fall. Well, it's the same way with us with the Word of God, isn't it? We need more light all the time. Let's
Amen.
Talk about some things. I thought we
And
were,
in Him there's no shadow of turning. Thank you,
I was thinking
Lord.
About this week about the things with Israel and all the stuff that's going on over there. But you know, the Bible said all this was going to happen, and He gave them instructions over in Deuteronomy about He said, I'm setting before you today life or death, and He says, you choose. Well,
mm-hmm.
the life was to follow the Lord and His commandments. Well, they drifted away from all that. We know that. And so what happened? They were scattered all over the world, and that's what's going on now. But a lot of them have come back to Israel now, and we see why the enemy, through the Islamic faith and all what's going over there with the terrorists, are trying to destroy what God's putting in place. And He's
mm-hmm.
and it's coming fast because a lot of the Jews are coming to Yeshua. So I thought we might look at something here. A little fascinating book in the Bible is the book of Zephaniah. And you know, they say, well, it's a minor prophet. He wasn't minor. It was just the book was smaller, okay? It didn't have 66 chapters or something in it like Isaiah does. But it's only got three chapters. But boy, is it powerful. And this whole book, not from beginning to end, is about an exhortation to repentance and also about Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, God's city, being reproved for sin. There's a lot of examples in here we can apply to ourselves today in our hearts as we live and what we see going on in our country, but it should really bear witness with Israel because this Zephaniah is talking about the Jewish people. That's what Zephaniah, he was speaking to the Jews, okay? That was his audience. Well, first of all, before we get into this, remember Zephaniah's name means God hides. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
God's purpose is that not one Jewish person would go through Jacob's trouble. He wants to hide them in that day. So I'm going to read some verses here, and maybe you don't want to read the whole thing, but there's some things we'll look around and kind of share with you about it. So I'm going to start in Zephaniah chapter 1, the very first verse. Listen to this. The word of the Lord, which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. Boy, that covers a lot of people, does it? Well, we talked about Josiah here several weeks ago. What a wonderful king he was, and became king at 8 years old. And all. So here's Zephaniah, who's in the midst of all this. Now, verse 2 says, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. So he's upset with Israel. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. So the stumbling blocks in that day was all the idols that they were involved with. Now let's go on here. Verse 4, I will also stretch out mine hand. By the way, we're reading out the King James Bible. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal. That's, you know, Baal was the pagan worship from this place, and the name of the Kimarims with their priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him. Now here we got a good example for America, all right? We think about Israel. They knew the God at one time, but they began to worship idols from Baal and Malcolm and all these, and all these false gods, these pagan gods and all that, and they drifted into a place that God had to do something about. Our country started off with Christian, you know, Judeo-Christian principles, and we've just drifted off of that. And I'm telling you, God's going to lift his hand one day if this country does not change. And I've said this a lot on this program. Everybody's wanting something to happen. Well, we have to, first of all, repent. We're going to find out a little bit about this in this book. We have to repent and then turn back to God, and then God could bring this revival that we're looking for. And so the same thing was happening with Israel hundreds of years ago. This is a pattern to us also. Now look at verse 7. The Lord says, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It's going to come one day, you know, for the wicked. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. Who were those guests? These were the eagles and the vultures we read about over in Revelation chapter 19. He's going to call to this big dinner he's going to have of all the wicked dead that's going to be killed. But see, God wants everyone to come to him. He's not willing that one would perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. And so God here is declaring through Zephaniah to his own people, come back to me. We're going to see what he's going to give them if they'll come back. Verse 8 says, and it shall come to pass in that day, it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such are clothed with strange apparel. He's telling what's going to happen on that day when Armageddon comes, on the Day of Atonement, when he comes back to this earth. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. Remember when Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal? Baal's mentioned here. What did they do? They put their sacrifice on. They jumped up and down and pounded on the altar. It just tells you right here what they did. Huh? They leaped on what? The threshold. And nothing happened. And so, you know, Elijah challenged them. Well, nothing happened. They cut themselves. They did all this. But when Elijah called upon the power of God, what happened? God appeared, and the people began to realize that the God of Israel was the one true God, not Baal or Chemosh or any of these. Amen. Now, verse 9 says this, in the same day also I will punish all those that leap, I'm going to say it again, on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. Now, I've said this before on this program. When you see the word violence in the King James, and in any Bible, I hope it has the word violence. If you look it up in the Hebrew for the word violence, it's a word spelled H-A-M-A-S, Hamas. He's given us a clue about what's going to happen. They're going to be the ones that are going to be leaping up and down on the threshold, trying to get their God to do something, but Allah can't do one thing because he's the moon God and it's a false God. So nothing's going to happen. Our God will do something. We know that. And we're going to see right here what he's going to do. At 10, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, this is in the temple, and the howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Makdesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off. Makdesh. Now let's go on. Verse 12. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem. Now listen to this. With candles. No, there's darkness there. Amen. Because they're not back there. When you're away from God, you're in darkness. And punish the men that are settled on their lees. Now this is interesting. The lees was a place where they went. And what it really means in our language to understand it, that they were settled on their lees. It means they were settled in complacency with God. They were not serving God at all. They turned away from him. That say in their heart, those who are on their lees, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. That's what our country says today. Most people say that. Well, he won't do evil, he won't do good. Well, like they don't believe that he can do anything. Well, God can do anything he wants. And we're going to find out soon in our country that something mighty is going to happen if we don't turn around and come back. Now, verse 13 says, therefore, their good shall become a booty. and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. Because he's going to curse the ground, amen. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. The day of the Lord. And they had a day in the Lord back in this time, because what happened? God sent the prophets year after year after year, and they wouldn't listen. And what happened? He allowed the Babylonians, and in fact, the Babylonians were called his servant. They came in and devastated Israel, tore down the temple and all that, because they would not hasten to what God was telling them to do. So they had a day of the Lord back then. But there's a double meaning to the day of the Lord that's going to be here at the very end. There'll be another one, all right, for all the world. Now, verse 15, that day, see, that first one was for Israel. This one coming will be for the entire world. Verse 15, that day is a day of wrath, and boy, it will be at the end of Jacob's trouble also, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. It tells you that in Joel chapter 2 also. Amen? Now, in part of chapter 1. Now, verse 16, a day of the trumpet. To me, prophetically, this is referring to the Feast of Trumpets. Amen? And the day of the trumpet, an alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. Hear that? There's a shofar going to blow, and it's going to be, I believe, on the day of it, the day of what? Trumpets.
Thank you, Lord. Jews
call it Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah.
It's the beginning of the new year. But this is it.
It's now, coming up soon.
That's right. In fact, talking about this, today's the 27th day of the month of Av. We're getting ready in a few days. We're going to come into the month of Elul. This month is called the month of Teshuvah with the Jews. It means to call. It's a call to repentance, to turn back to God. They're going
to
seek God for 30 days before the day of what? Trumpets. And so this is important to understand this with our Jewish understanding.
Pastor Gene, couldn't it also be a call? It's a call to return. So I'm thinking about before, I always thought about repentance. Mm-hmm. But what about in Israel today? They say that the planes going in are not going in full.
Nope.
Like they were going in with people making Aliyah or going to Israel. But they're coming out of there
in huge numbers, yeah.
So it's also a time to return.
That's right. I'm thinking
about the Jews are supposed to return to Israel.
Sure.
So only is it a time to see when you return to a place where you're supposed to be, I think repentance will automatically follow and be there, because you'll know that you're on the land where you're called to be.
That's right.
Where you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. The land that God gave you. What if God gave you something, shouldn't you return to that? And take possession.
Absolutely.
See, we're supposed to take possession, even in spiritual things. We need to take possession of the things that God has given us. And so many Christians nowadays, they don't know what it is to be in spiritual warfare. They don't know what it is to take possession. You know, we sing this one song, we're going to take back what the enemy has stolen
yeah.
Seven times. Right? It's in one of the songs that we sing at church. I was thinking about that. And so we're to take possession. That means we're those things that were taken from us.
We take it back.
We take it back. We take back what the enemy has stolen. The devil has stolen a lot of things. And you know, a lot of people have no idea how to, what spiritual warfare is all about. They just are wimpy Christians, you know,
or
they have fear, you know, of the devil. Well,
right.
You know, God says in his word, he says he hasn't given us a spirit of fear,
that's right,
but of love and of power. See, now, where is the power in the church?
That's
see,
right.
The power's got to be in the Holy Ghost.
You got it.
And where is the Holy Ghost in the church? Some people don't even talk about the Holy Ghost, or don't even teach about the gifts of the Spirit, or the anointing that God has given us for authority.
But isn't everything but
for authority? When you take back what the devil has taken, see, the Jewish people need to go and they take him back the land.
That's it.
And maybe they need to just go and take back the Gaza Strip as well. You know, because there's a lot more of the land there that God has promised them, and God's going to give it
that
all
land,
back to them.
That land is theirs.
The Gaza Strip is theirs.
Yeah.
It is theirs.
That's
right. So somebody is, they parted the land. The Bible talks about them parting the land.
Yeah.
Well, you know, some Bibles don't say parted, but the King James says parted. And so, you know, I can change the part in my hair any place I want, okay? And so that's what I think about. So they can part it. They can take it back. They can return to them. And not only the Gaza Strip, but there's only a small, they only have a small area of what God promised them.
That's it.
Because when you go back and you see what God gave all the different tribes, the different 12 tribes.
It's a huge area.
He gave them each a certain amount of land. And so that hasn't changed.
That's their possession.
That's their possession. And so here we have Jewish people scattered all over the world, which the Bible says it would happen, right?
Right.
But he also says that there's a time of return.
Absolutely.
So we're in that time of return, which is the Teshuvah. So I'm seeing this teshuva in a whole new light right
now. It's important.
Prophetically for the people to return.
Turn to the Lord.
Because there'll be a time, even when the people here in America, it'll be difficult for them to return.
That's right.
Right now it's not difficult, okay? But there's going to be a time when it's going to be difficult for them to return. So we need to do things when God directs it. So teshuva to me, I'm seeing it in a new way. Sure, it means to return and do what's right. And for us as a Christian, maybe we're backslidden. Maybe there's some backslidden Christians. I'm sure there are a lot of backslidden Christians. Okay. There are a lot of Christians that are not doing what God said because they have, the devil's given them fear. They have fear.
That's right.
They're afraid to go out. They're afraid to take back what the devil's taken from them. But, you know, if we could talk about spiritual warfare and what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, and most people don't even have on their armor of God.
Nope.
They don't even know what it is to have on this helmet of salvation.
That's right. So put it on and leave it on.
And Christians are fighting right and left, so their feet aren't shod with peace.
Nope.
And you can go back and look at that. We don't have time to teach that today, but go back and look at Ephesians chapter 6. And it talks about the armor. And that's all spiritual things for the battle, because the battle is the Lord's, but the Lord expects us to be dressed for the battle.
All the time.
All the time.
Never take it off.
Gideon, he won the battle for Gideon, but Gideon had to do what God told him to do.
That's right.
And so on this time of return, we need to just pray. All those Jews that are supposed to return, or they have this in their heart, you know, when that if this is the time, then they will know and they'll obey God and
that's
return
right.
to Teshuvah.
I'm reminded when I went to Israel the second time, we got off the plane in Tel Aviv.
Uh-huh.
People came off the plane and you looked out and people actually knelt down on the ground, they kissed the ground because they know that ground belongs to them.
That's
it was
right.
given to them by God. But so you think about Israel, they got so many secular Jews over there. So I'm going to pray and believe that this month of Teshuvah,
they'll wake up.
They're going to wake up and they're going to turn away from all their secularism and they're going to come back to God and serve Him the way God wants them to be served. Okay.
See, they'll see the true light.
That's right, the true light.
Israel's blessed. I mean, all
that's
the things
right.
that are happening in Israel, all the things, inventions that happen, all the
that's
buildings,
right.
all the things. What's happened in the last? How many years? I don't know.
Lots of things.
40 years. What's happened over there in the last 40 years?
A lot.
It's just a miracle, you
that's
know?
That's right.
And so, sure, they're seeing light. Light means you're seeing things that are good, right?
That's right.
But they're not seeing the light that God has brought many times because they're still, like you said, it's a lot of secularism,
that's
right?
That's what it is.
So they need to see what God says about it and what God says in His Word and really bring the true light of the Lord in there.
That's right.
And so that, and they, when they do that, they're gonna remove. They won't have an abortion anymore.
That's right.
Because they'll do what God says.
That's right. Won't allow it.
And they won't allow things that come against God's word.
That's right. Now we just talked here in this Zephaniah 1. We mentioned verse 16 about the day of the trumpet. Well, that, you know, that happened in Israel's time. But think about this. We're thinking about in the future. Verse 17 says, "Because of this, I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men." Because they have sinned against the Lord. We have this in America today. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. That's going to happen at the very end, at the end of Jacob's trouble. So there's a double meaning to this. It happened in Israel's day with the Babylonians. The same thing's going to happen at the end. Now, verse 18. We got all these rich people in America. You know, you couldn't become president of the United States if you're not a millionaire. You need so much money, and you still probably wouldn't win if you had all the money. Because I think it's pre-planned. I know it is. Verse 18 says this. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of His jealousy, for He shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Well, that's going to happen one day in the future, and it will. And so your money is going to be cankered, like it says in the New Testament. It's not going to help you one bit. And so they're concerned with their money and what they're going to do with all that. Well, think about it. I said this, I think, last week. You know, our government, if the whole House changed all to Republican, all the Democrats became Republicans and everything, this is not going to change America. Just changing the guard. The only thing that's going to change America is for this country to come back to God. It's, man's not going to have it done. People just understand that. Man can't have it done. It won't happen. It's only going to be God. And so we have to keep this in mind. So all their money, all the stuff that they think is important will be nothing in that day. The most important thing they must have is what? They must know Yeshua and have Him in their heart and walk with Him. And if they do, what? They will not go through this terrible time that's going to come at the end. But it's on the schedule. It will happen, okay? Now we're going to go into chapter 2. This is interesting. Now look what God says here through Zephaniah. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Usually when God mentions a nation singular, it means Israel. So the nation was not desired at that time. Why? Because they were in sin. They were worshiping idols and all. Now verse 2, he says, before the decree bring forth, before the day passes, the chapel, we're talking about at the end, the Day of Atonement in the future, and also this is talking about what? In Israel's day, before the Babylonians came, he was warning them. Before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. So he's talking to Israel at that time. He's talking to all of us, the rest of the world, at the end of Jacob's trouble, but especially Israel as well, because he wants them all to come. Amen? Now listen to this now. This next verse is a Feast of Trumpets scripture, just like verse 16 was in chapter 1. He says, seek ye the Lord. That's what they got to do. All ye meek of the earth, which have wrought what? His judgment, doing things the right way. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. Now think about this. We have to seek righteousness. What is that? Doing things the right way according to what God has said in His Word. We have to do that. We can't pass laws and do things that's contrary to the Word of God because we're going to bring judgment upon ourselves. With it, like we think about abortion, same-sex marriage. We could go on and on with the stuff we got going on in America right now. So we have to seek after righteousness, okay? Now listen to this. It says seek meekness. Our leaders need to be humble people. Some of them are, but a lot of them are not. A lot of them are just downright arrogant and got pride, okay? Now listen to this. If they're willing to do this, to come back to the Lord, it says, it may to me is a possibility. It could be or could not be. Depends on how they respond to this word. It may be ye, we know the word ye in the King James means you all, shall what? Be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So I believe with all my heart, when the Babylonians came, there was a group of people, I'm sure, that God did hide some way that didn't go through this devastation as much, but they still had to go through the 7 years because of what? The whole nation of Israel, the most of them were in disobedience, including the prophets and all that. So he told them that they can be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And so Zephaniah's name means what? God hides. So God's plan is that they will be hid during this time because they're going to seek after His judgments, His righteousness, His meekness. And He said, if you're willing to do that, it may be, if you're willing to do that, that you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And I believe there's going to be a huge group at the end that will be hid as well. And His purpose for Israel is that they would not go through Jacob's trouble. He's given them a choice. You can choose life or death, He told us over in Deuteronomy. Well, they can choose life, and how do they choose that? Only way they can choose that is to accept Yeshua HaMashiach as their Messiah. He came the first time for them. He died for their sins. He rose from the grave and all that. And He's getting ready to come back for them again. So they missed their day of visitation when He was here on the earth in the physical realm. He's coming back again. My heart's desire is they will all come. There'll be a huge repentance that will come during this time called Teshuvah that's coming up here in a few days as it starts for 30 days before the Feast of Trumpets. It's incredible. So that's my desire, and that's God's desire that they would come. Now look, we're going to go to verse 4 now. Now he's going to talk about the Gaza Strip. And for Gaza, now who does Gaza belong to? Well, it's been given to the Hezbollah and all that, and the Muslim, but that land, as Donna talked about a moment ago, it belongs to Israel. They'll have that all back, and they will have it back. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast. That's where this is all located at. The nation of the Kirathites. Well, you know what the Kirathites were? I looked this up. That name they have meant they were running assassins. And that's what we have with the Muslims. They're running assassins over there, killing not only the Jewish people, but also any Muslim that converts to Jesus Christ. They're killing them, their children. It's incredible. You know, they're a bunch of barbarians. That's what's going on right now. They're a bunch of running assassins. And he says, the word of the Lord is against you. And he is. It's going to come to a conclusion. And he says, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines, I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. And the seacoast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. What's the remnant? The ones that come back to him and that come to Yeshua. They shall feed thereon in the houses of Ashkelon. They shall lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away what? Their captivity. Hear that? Their captivity. So they went into captivity because of their disobedience and their idol worship. Well, at the end, There's going to be what idol worship there. They're going to worship this false Messiah and all this. And so God's wanting them to come back. So we have these double meanings. We look through all this. Now I'm going to go to verse 8 now. Listen to that. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, when they came against the Jewish people when they came into the promised land, whereby they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border. Remember, they want to go through their land as they came into the promised land. They said, no, you can't come into here. You can't come into our land. Now, verse 9, therefore, God says, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as what? Gomorrah. What happened? They were destroyed. Fire and brimstone came down and wiped them out. Even the breeding of nettles and salt pits and perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them. Hear that? The residue, the small group that's left. And the remnant of my people shall what? Possess them. The remnant is going to be small, but it's going to be powerful. Verse 10. This shall they have for what? Their pride. These people that came against Israel, you know, we talked about Moab and all that. Well, they had pride. Well, think about it. Israel was in pride at this time right now. They thought nothing would come against them because God was on their side. But they didn't comprehend what the Psalms and all said that they read all the time, that God, when sin is in the camp, he looks the other way. He will not honor them because they have sin in their life. And one of the big ones is what? Pride draws them away. This shall they have for what? Their pride. Because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. We got that going. How about the Muslim? There's so much pride with what they're going to do. You know, with their Sharia law, we're going to take over. We're going to dominate the world. Well, I got news for you. They're going to find out one day they're not going to dominate the world. But they're trying. And the world, for the most part, they're afraid of them. And they're caving in to what they're trying to do. We got to stand tall. The church, Yeshua. Of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, we have to stand tall and stand against it and declare the truth wherever we go. Now, verse 11 says that the Lord will be terrible. When you see the word terrible in King James, it can also mean what? He's just awesome, and he is, unto them. For he will famish all the gods of the earth, hallelujah, all the pagan gods, including Allah, hallelujah, huh? The moon god, okay? And men shall what? Worship him. Everyone from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. They're going to turn to the Lord. Now, verse 12. And then he talks about the Ethiopians now. You Ethiopians, also you shall be what? Slain by my sword. What? If they don't come to Yeshua in the future. Well, this happened in Israel's day, back with the Babylonian Empire. And he will stretch out his hand against the north. Hear that? Destroy Assyria. They were in the north. And I will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness. It's incredible. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to skip down to, I'm going to read 14 also. And flocks shall lie down in the midst of her, all the beasts of the nations, both the cormorant, some people think that's a pelican, and the bittern shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be in the threshold, for he shall uncover the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly. Who was that? He's talking about Nineveh now.
Mm-hmm.
That said in her heart, I am, and there is none besides me. You can read that basically in Revelation chapter 18, the same spirit over there. Glory be to God. I am, and there is none beside me. How is she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? Everyone that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his hand. Well, he's talking about Nineveh, but he also mentioned in Deuteronomy, if the Jews didn't obey God's commandments, well, they would become a byword, a proverb, a hiss. That's what they have going on today. They blame everything on the Jewish people. Now let's go on. Chapter 3 now. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. Now he's not talking about Nineveh. Now he's talking about Jerusalem. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. Hear this? She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. That's what we have in America. We got to draw near to our God. Yod Heh Vav Heh. That's our God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Listen to all that. Now listen to verse 4. Her prophets are light. We're not talking about the light of God. They're just light in the way of things they're doing. They're not doing the right thing. Are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law of the Torah. Here's our word violence again, that word Hamas. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. Do you hear this? You know the Muslims that when they were cutting people's heads off, it was on the news the other day, okay? They wear a mask. You know why? I believe it. They're ashamed of what they're doing. They're ashamed, and they should be. Verse 6, I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. Verse 7, I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off, howsoever I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Everything that God told them not to do, they were corrupting their ways. Verse 8 now, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. Hear this? We're talking about it happened in Babylonian when the Babylonians came, but it's also a picture of what? Over in Revelation, what's going to happen at the very end. All right. For my determination is to gather what? The nations. These are the Goyim, the Gentile nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, his anger, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Isn't that incredible? Verse 9, for then will I turn to the people a pure language. He's going to restore a pure language. They have it right now. Remember, they had it back when the Babylonians came in, and then after a period of time, over years, they lost that language they had. Starting in the early part of the last century, what happened? The language of Hebrew began to come back into place. So he's going to restore, he's going to turn them to that language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with what? One consent, one in agreement, in other words. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my supplicants. Well, what would be the supplicants there in the King James Bible? They're his worshipers. My worshipers, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring what? Mine offering to the Lord. Huh? In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride. Hear this? And thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. Well, we know it's a picture of what? Mount Moriah. But think about it. Word mountain many times in the Bible refers to what? A kingdom. He's talking about his holy kingdom that's going to come. So he's going to remove all pride. And we have to, the Bible says in Proverbs, what? Pride comes before what? A fall. Amen. Now verse 12 says, I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people,
wow,
and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Those that are left, okay? The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. Did you hear that? They will not do any kind of iniquity. They're going to honor God. They're going to obey his word. Nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. It almost makes you want to cry thinking about what's going on today. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them what? Afraid. That day's going to come on the Day of Atonement, when the Lord comes back to establish his kingdom on this earth. Now, verse 14, he says this, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Now, listen to this. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy, the king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. Well, when that day comes, it's going to be all over. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. Now, I like verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. You hear that? The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with what? With singing. God's going to sing over us. Hallelujah. We sing to him when we have our meetings. Well, he's going to sing over us. Verse 18. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. What is a solemn assembly? The Day of Atonement, when this is all going to come to a conclusion. This is what this is talking about. The day of a solemn assembly. They were not to eat or drink on that day. That's when the high priest went in behind the veil.
Amen.
Now, we only got a couple of verses. I've read the whole book of Zephaniah for you here. Behold, he says, verse 19, at that time, what, at the end, and also what happened with the Babylonians, I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame. Listen, he's going to get them what? Praise and fame. Instead of being a hiss and a byword, I'm going to give them what? Pray. I'm going to get them to be what? A praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. Did you hear that?
That's right.
Hallelujah. The shame's going to be gone. When we come to Yeshua, we have no shame because we belong to him. Now, the last verse of Zephaniah, at that time, at the very end, will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make your name a praise. Listen to this. Your name a praise among all the people of the earth. The Jews will be honored in that day. when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Teshuvah.
That's the book of Zephaniah. So its purpose is they'll be hid in the day of Jacob's trouble. But they have to be that remnant. They'll be willing to do that. And the rest of them that are secular and the ones that don't want to do what God wants to do, sad to say, the Bible makes it clear, they're all going to be destroyed at the end. Go read Zechariah at the end. Two out of three people will be destroyed at that time because of their unbelief and doubt, or those that knew the Lord and turned away from him. Doesn't it make you want to just well up and cry? God's heart is so heavy for Israel. He wants them to come to him. He gave himself for the whole country. He sent his son to this earth that died for them, and the blood that was shed brought forgiveness.
Thank
wiped
the
away their sins. Didn't cover them, wiped them away. But if they'll just receive that on this day, there won't be that destruction there.
See, this book here talks about so many things. One thing in verse 17, it talks about the Lord is mighty to save.
That's right.
And they're going to rejoice. He rejoices over them with
yes,
joy.
Yes, he does.
And he will rest in his love. See, we can rest in the Lord's love. He will joy over thee with singing.
Hallelujah.
See, the Lord will do this thing. But I like what it says in verse 9. He says, then will I turn to the people a pure language. See, so many people, and you've seen it.
Chapter 3, verse 9.
Right. And you're seeing it. Many people, there's Jewish people on TV, thank God now.
Yeah.
And there's people that are teaching the Hebrew, thank God now.
Yeah.
And in our calendar that people are receiving, the one for this month, there's always something in there about the Hebrew language, and
that's
there's
right.
the alphabet in
Hallelujah.
There. We're wanting people to learn, start learning the Hebrew alphabet, start learning what does Aleph mean, what does Beit mean, what do these different 22 letters represent? Because they all represent, they all mean something, they're all made a certain way, they all have a number value. See, God works with all kinds of things. He works with numbers and names and all these things throughout the Bible. So he says they're going to have a pure language. The Hebrew language has been, they tried to destroy it.
It was gone for a lot of years.
But look at it. It's
restored.
More and more. It's restored.
That's right.
The Hebrew language is restored. And so they
God's
have
language.
A pure language. And, you know, the Jewish people that maybe they were born in this country, they never learned Hebrew. A lot of people are learning Hebrew. Even people are learning Hebrew who aren't Jewish. Because what? God has given us a thirst for the pure language. That it's his pure language, the Hebrew is. That they may all call upon the name of the Lord. I think about calling upon the name of the Lord in the Hebrew names. We did this last Sunday. People, we said, what names? Let's think of the names of the Lord. There's lots and lots, hundreds
yeah.
of names of the Lord. And so several people who came up to share, they spoke the names of the Hebrew names and spoke about what they meant.
Amen.
So here, if we're calling upon the name of the Lord in his language and the Hebrew words for praise and the Hebrew words for worship and for God's different names that he has in Hebrew and what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing? We're using the pure language that they make all call upon the name of the Lord. They're calling upon the name of the Lord in the Hebrew language, in
That's
his
right.
language.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he doesn't understand English. God understands everything. But God honors that language, I believe, greatly, to serve him with one consent. See, it's one language, one consent. And so I think that's another thing right there that's in this book. There's a lot of things in this book.
It's not a little prophet. It's a big prophet, just a small book, not too many pages.
That's
in.
Right. And it all refers to Israel, to Jerusalem,
right.
to the time of wrath.
He's reproving them.
And you know, and God is calling them back. He's calling
right.
them to Teshuva to come back. And so he talks about all of the different things that are happening even there, even about the Hamas, even about the violence
that's
happening over
yeah.
there right now.
That's right.
Because of what? Because of the Jews and the other religions that don't believe that they want to wipe out all the Jews.
They don't want anybody that doesn't believe in all.
Destroy
yeah.
the
wipe
Jews.
Them out. Yeah.
Wipe them out. They want everyone to believe in other religions and all other
thinking
religions.
About the letters the other night you
They're
mentioned.
They're killing
that.
Americans,
yeah.
right? We just had an American journalist cut his throat.
That's
they
right.
cut off
Beheaded
his head.
Beheaded him, right.
Beheaded him. Well, this is what's happening. So we're living in the days of prophecy. We're living in this great day of the Lord. It's
coming.
It's near. It says here in verse 14 of
it's
chapter
near.
1. It says, the great day of the Lord is near.
Near. Sure
and he
is.
Says, it is near again.
That's right.
And hasteth greatly.
That's right.
Even the voice of the day of the Lord.
Amen.
The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. And they are crying there bitterly, aren't they? But you know what? I thank God we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and pray for Benjamin Netanyahu, right? And pray for Israel, and because God, that they do what God's, that they be mighty warriors, that they be not afraid, because it's the Lord who's going to win the battle for them, says in verse 17 again.
Read that, yeah.
The Lord thy God is in the
mighty.
Midst of thee is mighty.
Hallelujah.
We sing that song. Do we believe it?
Yes, we do.
We must believe it. Amen.
Yeah.
He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. This is the song that the church sings. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing.
You know, I was thinking,
I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly. God. So what is the solemn assembly?
Day of Atonement.
Day of Atonement. And God is wanting to bring them back to the place where they came from. Return from where you left.
I was thinking about these letters the other night. Remember, we got talking that I have AB positive blood. And
yeah.
That's the Aleph and the Beit.
What's the
Aleph and Beit mean?
It's the Father and the Son.
Father and the Son.
It also means the Beit means the house.
That's right, the
Who's
house.
Who's in your house? Do
that's
you have
right.
God in your house?
That's right, I got
Bible says
God's in my house.
The Bible says in Revelation 19:10, worship God.
That's right.
Because God is indwelling in our midst, in our house. In
Amen.
Us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
That's
Amen.
Right.
The Holy Ghost is dwelling in us. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So we have the Aleph, which is the Father, we have the Beit, which is the Son, and we have the Gimel, which is the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
So we have the three of them. That's the first three letters of the Hebrew alphabet.
That's right.
So when you know those things, and see the Beit is the house, and we're
God's house.
We are God's house.
That's
Amen.
Right.
So praise the Lord.
It's good.
So there's so
it's
many
exciting.
Things to know about the Hebrew language and what it means. Amen. Praise
the Lord.
God.
Kind of spoke to me during this week. I'm going
Thank
to share some more in these smaller prophets that we have in the Bible. They're not the long books like Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah. But they're so powerful, the things. And this whole thing with Zephaniah, what God gave him was to bring correction to the nation of Israel before they went into captivity. But he was encouraging them to come and repent, but they didn't want to do it. And then they didn't, you know. And so what happened? He reproved them because of their sin. He used the Babylonians. Well, we're down to about a minute and a half.
And he
Pastor
wants them
Donna.
To come back and be holy, because it says in verse 1, it says, chapter 3, it says, woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressive city. That's Jerusalem.
That's Jerusalem, right.
So praise God. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're
Time
blessed
goes by
to be
so fast.
Here on this radio broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing, at 12 noon. And you can listen to us on it's Eastern Standard Time. And you can listen to us on the internet. You can go back and listen to this broadcast again. Just go to WCNO.com, and you can just go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard, and you can listen to a number of different teachings that we have on there. So we have church services every Friday. We have Shabbat, and we have a Bible school on Saturday. And we also have our service. We come together and have a fellowship meeting on Sunday at 10 a.m. So if you'd like to visit Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, so you'd like to come some Shabbat, I'm just going to give you our phone number, and you can call, and we'll give you directions on how to find us. We're here in Stuart, Florida, and very easy to find in the Monterey Shopping Plaza. So our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. We're blessed to be here.
Amen.
Bless you guys.
I might close with this. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart,
Amen.
What an incredible time to come and be this and save you from all the trouble. And if you're backslidden, you need to come back as
Return.
Soon as you can. So, Father, we thank you. So we're on this program every week because we want to see the standard raised in the body of Christ. And we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth what?
Nigh. And we say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath, peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord, and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.